In this relationship, this walking and talking with him on a regular basis, not saying you're perfect in your life, but I'm saying you have a relationship with Jesus. You have a relationship with God. So you are happy in this place. It's no place like being with the Lord. It's nothing like being with Jesus. It's nothing like being filled with his Holy Spirit. In this place. Are you glad to be in this place? Not necessarily talking about a physical location, but where you are in the Lord. It's good to walk with the Lord. And it's good to be physically in this place this morning, in the house of the Lord and around the people of God. It's good to be in this place. This place. So Lord, we do thank you for this place. Thank you for how you have drawn us to yourself. We thank you for how you've drawn us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you that we were on a road headed to death and destruction, but you, being rich in mercy, intercepted us, stopped us on our Damascus road, caused us to be born again, changed our life, changed our mindset, changed our heart. And you're still working on us, dear Lord. You're still molding us into your image. You're still pruning us, dear God. So continue to have your way in our lives. Continue to move us to one level of intimacy to another with you, dear God. But we thank you for what you have done and what you are doing and what you're going to do. Pray it even now, dear God, as we open up your word, the word of God, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. We know that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that it will not return to you void. We know that it always accomplishes what you desire it to do. So speak now, dear God, because we, your people, need to hear. And then, dear Lord, by your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts and minds, that we might not be hearers of the word of God, but that we might be doers of the word of God. And I pray this for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time this morning. And you can either turn in your Bibles or it's also in your bulletin. I'm going to read from Ephesians 6, but I'm also going to read from 2 Timothy 3. It'll be on the screen. Of course, it's in your Bible too. I'm going to read Ephesians 6. After today, I have one more sermon in this series. Spiritual warfare series, Ephesians 6. I know we read it earlier, but let me read it again. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read starting in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor, or the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it's on the screen as well. I'm going to start reading in verse 15, but we're going to mainly look at verse 16 and 17. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 15, and verses 16 and 17 are on the screen. Verse 15 says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, Somebody say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. My thought this morning is that this book, the Bible, this book is no ordinary book. This book is no ordinary book. You may be seated. This book, the Bible, this book is no ordinary book. The Bible was written over some 1500 to 1600 years, sometimes, man, 1500 to 1600 years. Written by some 40 different authors from various backgrounds. Some of them were kings. Some of them were shepherds. Some of them were like farmers or fishermen. Diverse backgrounds, multiple different years, different regions. But yet it fits together so neatly. It fits together so well that one has to think it must have had a divine author or a divine editor. And it did. It does. And it's God. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. All scripture, all of the Bible is breathed by God. All means all, from Genesis to Revelation. All was given by God. And all of this book, this Bible, this book, which is no ordinary book, all of it is to be used by us in this spiritual battle that we are in, to be used by us for spiritual warfare. As a matter of fact, of all the armor that God has given us, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. It's the only offensive weapon. The rest of the weapons are kind of defensive weapons. The Bible, this book, is no ordinary book. Now, our enemy, the devil, he tries to get you and me to doubt the validity of the Bible. I mean, look at it. Nothing has changed. In Genesis chapter 3, when he came to Eve, what was the first thing he said to Eve? He said, has God really said? You know, God didn't really say all that stuff about the tree or knowledge of good and evil. Did God really say? So he comes on the scene in Genesis chapter 3 trying to put doubt in Eve's mind about what God says. So it is today, beloved. The devil, he hadn't changed his little tactic. He tries to get you and me, the followers of Christ, and he definitely tries to get the world to doubt the validity of this book called the Bible. You know, you've heard some of the excuses. You've heard some of the things. Some people say, well, you know, man wrote the Bible. Or, you know, the Bible was written thousands of years ago. So surely over all that time, man has changed the Bible. And then some even try to argue kind of deep. Some people even try to say, well, you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, which it was, and the New Testament was written primarily in Greek, a little bit in Aramaic, but most of it in Greek. So surely, after all that translating from Hebrew and Greek to English or other language, surely something has been lost. Surely something has been messed up. I mean, that's what the enemy tries to put in your heart and in your mind. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, this book is no ordinary book. The God that we serve, the same God who told me and what to write, he's the same God that can keep his word pure over all those years. We can trust this book, the Bible, the word of God. It's no ordinary book. So don't believe the lies of the enemy of trying to say, well, you can't really trust the Bible. No, this book is no ordinary book. You can trust this book. You can trust the word of God. Matter of fact, in 2 Peter 1:21, I quoted this in my pastor's pen in the bulletin. It says this. It says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God told men of God what to write. Here it is. So the Holy Spirit of God used men of God to write the word of God. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit of God used men of God to write the word of God. Paul and Timothy and David and all those brothers, they were just writing what God told them to write. They were just writing what the Holy Spirit told them to write. They were kind of like a glorified secretary. God was telling them what to write. The word of God. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of this sermon today trying to, if you will, validate the Bible. I'm just going to make a statement that the Bible, you can trust it. You can believe it. It is the word of God. That this book is no ordinary book. How many of y'all just been reading the Bible, and then next thing you know, the Bible started reading you? Isn't that something? I'm reading the Bible, the next thing I know, it's reading me. How many of y'all just picked up the Bible, and maybe you were going through a certain thing, and just opened up the Bible and just kind of randomly begin to read, and then the next thing you know, the Bible speaks to your situation. This book is no ordinary book. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. The Bible. God's holy, infallible word. He tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that all scripture is given by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All scripture. It's once again, God breathed. When the Bible speaks, that's God speaking. The Bible doesn't just contain the word of God. It is the word of God. Let me repeat that. The Bible doesn't just contain the word of God, which kind of gives an illusion that it might contain something else. But the Bible is the word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end of this book, it's all written by God. From Genesis 1:1, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All the way to Revelation 22:21, which says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all true. And everything in between, it's all true. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy 32:4 says, our God is the God of truth. Our God is the God of truth. Jesus says himself in John 14:6, Jesus, I am the way, the truth. So God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And then 1 John 5:6 lets us know that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So let me get this right. God the Father, he is the truth. God the Son, he is the truth. God the Holy Spirit, he is the truth. It sounds like our God is all truth to me. Our God is a God who cannot lie. He's a God of truth. Jesus says this in John 17:17. He says, God's word, thy word is truth. No other document, no other book, no other document you can pick up. Can you trust it like you can trust this book called the Bible? This book is no ordinary book. Now you and I got to read it. We got to study it. We got to meditate on it. We got to use it. It's just like if you can go to the barber shop. Sometimes I watch when I go to my barber, Kenneth Ware, and sometimes I go to Cornelius Birdie of our church family. But it's amazing. They're both good barbers. Sometimes people get in a chair, especially little kids, and one of them come out with a great haircut and another one come out with a haircut that's not so good. What's the difference? The same barber, the same clippers, but it's the person that they're working on. Sometimes they squirming and moving around. They saying, sit up. So his haircut comes out not as good as a person who sits still. So it is with us. It's the same word. It's a good word. So some people go to the Bible and say, I didn't get anything out of that book. Well, the problem is not in the Bible. The problem is not in the word. The problem is with the person reading the word. Because this book is no ordinary book. You can trust what's written in the Bible. Whatever the Bible says about itself, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about man and mankind, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about God, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about life or death, you can trust it. Whatever the Bible says about history, you can trust it. It's the truth. Whatever the Bible says about science or salvation, you can trust it. In any other subject you want to pick up, whatever the Bible says about it, how to handle your money, whatever, how to be in your marriage, you can trust what God says. You can trust what the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. It's our offensive weapon. Read it, believe it, trust it, apply it. It is the word of God. Whatever this Bible says, whatever this book says, it's the truth. Verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3 says this, says, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You've known the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible is so powerful. The Bible points us to Christ and Christ alone for salvation. It's through what the Bible says about Jesus that we receive, if you will, salvation. And if you can trust it for eternal things like salvation, like where you're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell, you can trust it for all these other things we deal with in here on earth. You can trust it. It makes us wise unto salvation. The Bible points us to Jesus. As a matter of fact, all the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the central character, the central star of the Bible is Jesus. The love of God and how God himself is redeeming a people unto himself. He is the star. He is the main attraction of the Bible. The Bible, all scripture, again, is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot this down. The Bible is profitable for doctrine. Another word for doctrine is teaching. It's profitable. The Bible is profitable for teaching. The Bible also is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for reproof. The Bible is profitable for doctrine or teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for training in righteousness. The Bible is profitable for all those things. Those things right there in that text. Profitable for teaching, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, profitable for training or instruction in righteousness. Let me say it another way. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, meaning the Bible is good to tell you what is right. It's good for what is right. Also, the Bible is profitable for reproof. In other words, the Bible is good to tell you what is not right. The Bible is this book, which is no ordinary book. Also, the Bible is good to tell you for correction how to get right. Then also, the Bible is good to tell you about instruction and writing, how to stay right. Let me say it again one more time. The Bible is good to tell you what is right. The Bible is good to tell you what is not right. The Bible is good to tell you how you and me how to get right. Watch this. And the Bible is also good to tell us how to stay right. Oh, let me repeat that one more time. The Bible is good to tell us what is right. It's also good to tell us what is not right. It's also good to tell us how to get right. But not only that, it's also good to tell us, Brother Chris, how to stay right. Let me say that one more time. The Bible is good to tell us what is right. It's good to tell us what is not right. It's good to tell us how to get right. And then it's also good to tell us how to stay right. I got to say that one more time. The Bible is good to tell us what is right. It's also good to tell us what is not right. It's also good to tell us how to get right. And it's also good to tell us how to stay right. Do I have two or three witnesses in the house? I mean, God's word, this book is no ordinary book. No other book can tell you how to get right and stay right and keep you right. But this book is no ordinary book. This book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, it's the book for me. Now the Christian, the follower of Christ, the Christian who prayerfully studies his or her Bible and applies what he or she learns will grow in holiness and avoid many pitfalls in this world. Any of us got any age on us should be saying a hearty amen. If you read this book and apply this book to your life, you're going to grow in holiness. You're going to become more like Jesus. And also it's going to help you to avoid many pitfalls in this world. If I could back up, hit rewind and take my life back to about age 12, 13 or 14. If only I would have listened to some of the things that thus said the Lord. If only I would have heeded this book a little bit more. I would not have made some of the messed up mistakes I made in my life. Now, I know we all live life. We all got a testimony. But look here. I can go tell somebody a certain thing without having to experience that certain thing. It was a bad thing. I don't have to go down that road. If Lord said, don't go down that road. I don't have to go down that road. This book is no ordinary book. All of it, number one, is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching or for doctrine, telling us what is right. It's profitable for reproof, telling us what is not right. It's also profitable for correction, telling us how to get right. And it's also profitable for instruction or training in righteousness, how to stay right. But then all of that, verse 17 says, why do we read and study the Bible? Why? It's not just to get more knowledge in our heads. Some of us can just explode with Bible knowledge. We don't want to be like the Pharisees, just, you know, learning the Bible, just to learn the Bible, Brother Tommy. But it says, verse 17, we learn that the man of God or that the child of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You and I should spend time as Christians in this book, not just to get a little more knowledge, but that we might be more equipped to do good work. That we might be more equipped, that the Lord might use us more favorably in a mighty way. We study more, that we might be better prepared to be used by Him. God, through His Word, has given us everything. Somebody say everything. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. So, you know, when the devil comes against you and me, when the devil comes against us, you and I, since we got the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, this book, which is no ordinary book, you and I need to do like what Jesus did. You know, the little bracelets, the little fad that caught on years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I know it just took off and it was a fad and some people talk negative about it, whatever, but that is a pretty good way to be thinking about stuff. What would Jesus do? So when the enemy comes against you or me, as you following Christ and following God, he will come against us. You ought to say, what would Jesus do? Well, this is what Jesus did in Matthew 4 and Luke chapter 4. You all know this. When the devil came against Jesus, Jesus said, it is written. Jesus said, it is written. He quoted from the Bible. Jesus pulled out the sword of the Spirit. He said, it is written. He said, this book is no ordinary book. It is written. So you and I, when we're going through life, ups and downs, the hustle and bustle of life, as followers of Christ, you got to say, it is written. You got to say, this book is no ordinary book. You got to say, God has given me the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So as you go through your spiritual battle, and I go through my spiritual battle, maybe you're feeling defeated. Maybe you're feeling down and out. You got to say, wait a minute. This book is no ordinary book. It's God breathed. I can believe everything that's in this book. And so I might be feeling a little down. I might be feeling a little defeated. But wait a minute. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Word of God says, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. That's what this book says, which is no ordinary book. You got to pick up your sword. Maybe you're feeling, even this morning, maybe you're feeling a little fearful. You know, something got you a little fearful, a little afraid. You got to wear them. Wait. I got the Word of God. I got the sword of the Spirit. Isaiah 41:10 tells me, the Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Maybe you're feeling a little weak. Isaiah 41:10, this book, which is no ordinary book, tells us, the Lord said, I will strengthen you. Yeah, you might be a little weak, but the Lord said, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I can read a verse like that, and then I can run on a little further in the Lord. Psalms 27 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You don't have to be afraid of that work situation tomorrow. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For in a time of trouble, the Lord, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So if you're feeling fearful, you say, wait a minute. The Lord hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, this book is no ordinary book. This book is no ordinary book. Maybe you're feeling impatient. Well, Psalms 27 says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I know that's hard in this microwave culture and society, but the Lord says, wait on me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This book is no ordinary book. I mean, that's why, beloved, you and I got to carve out time to spend some time in this book. Why do you think it's so difficult at times to maybe read your Bible? Why do you think the enemy tries to keep, comes up with all kind of distractions? One distraction might just be laziness or whatever, to keep you away from this book. Because this is our sword. This is our weapon. If you and I are not really know how to wield or use this weapon, we're going to be messed up. I said, we're going to be messed up if we're trying to fight the devil and we don't even have a sword. I mean, we're in a sword fight. We need a sword. We got the Word of God. We got the Word of God. This book, which is no ordinary book. Maybe you might be feeling all alone. So it's just war with me. It's just me all alone. You got to remember. Wait a minute. This book, the Word of God says, the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you might be feeling alone, but you got to say, wait a minute. God is with me. God is with me. This book, his word tells me he is with me. You might be thinking as though you don't have a future. You might say, man, I've messed up. I've blown this. I've blown it. I've thrown that away. It's just over for me. I don't have a future. I don't have a future. I don't have a future. You guys say, wait a minute. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. I got the sword of the spirit. I got this book, which is no ordinary book. And it tells me in Jeremiah 29:11, says the Lord, I know the plans. I know the plans. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So are you going to agree with the devil and your feelings? Or are you going to go with the word of God? I want to go with the word of God. I want to go with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Maybe you're feeling a little weak. Maybe you're feeling a little weak this morning. Maybe you're feeling a little weak this morning. There's a word. There's a word from the Lord. There's a word from his book for you. The prophet Isaiah says, the Lord gives strength to the weary. Isaiah 40:31. You all know this. You might want to write some of these references down. Isaiah 40:31. If you're feeling a little weak this morning, the Lord says, he said, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's what the word of God says. That's what the sword of the spirit says. I'm going with what God says. You might say something else, but I'm going with what God says. David said it this way. David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Maybe you may be thinking, I'm just talking about how you can use the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, which is our offensive weaponry in this spiritual battle. Maybe you're feeling, maybe you think your needs are not being met. Whatever they might be, it could be something tangible, physical, it could be emotional, it could be whatever. You might say, my needs are not being met. We gotta say, wait a minute. The word of God, the Bible, the B-I-B, this book, which is no ordinary book, God tells me in Philippians 4:19, he tells me that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let me say it another way. I know Philippians 4:19, God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He can do that. This book is no ordinary book. Maybe this morning, maybe your need this morning, maybe your need is salvation. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. Well, it's in the book. This book is no ordinary book. It's in the book. Romans 10:9 says, if you just confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be, not you might be, but you shall be, you will be, you shall be saved. Can I get a few witnesses right there? I ought to have a few witnesses right there that you call on the Lord and his word and he saved you. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever, I love that. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is no ordinary book. Where else can you find information like that? But in the word of God, says, if you just call on the name of the Lord, turn from your sins and turn to Christ and put your faith in him and him alone, you shall be saved. Oh, that's no ordinary book. That's no ordinary. I am in the Christian church this morning, right? That's no ordinary book. This book is no ordinary book. This is the word of God. It's the sword of the spirit. We got to use it daily, beloved. Use it for ourselves. Use it for others. It is the word of God. Exodus 15:2 says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Oh, let me repeat that. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Maybe you're battling temptations. Maybe you have some stuff messing with you, some temptations tempting you to get off the right path and get on the wrong path. Well, it's in the book. You got to pull out the sword. You got to use your sword. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation. Somebody said, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And God is faithful. And God is faithful. I'm just going to preach this so I get myself happy. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation. He will provide the way out, the way of escape, so that you may be able to endure it, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, this book is no ordinary book. It says maybe you got a temptation, but God says, I'll give you a way out. You can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Maybe you did blow it. Maybe you did sin. Maybe you did stumble and sin. Well, this book, 1 John 1:9 says, if you just confess your sins, God said he is faithful and just. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. About 5 of y'all happy about that. The rest of y'all must have been holy all week and didn't sin all week. But for the rest of us, are we excited that when I do blow it, I don't try to blow it, but when I do blow it, when I do bump my head, when I do sin, I can go to a God. I got a Jesus who said, you just confess with your mouth. You just come clean and admit, I blew it. Yeah, I lied. I said something I shouldn't have said. I was thinking something I shouldn't have thought. And I'm bringing it to you. He said, if you just confess it, I'm faithful and righteous and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Do I have any thankful forgiveness? You're thankful for your forgiveness. Are you thankful for your forgiveness this morning? This book is no ordinary book. Maybe you're weary. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-29, he said, come to me. I'm just preaching the Bible. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest. See, some of you all are too tired because you're not yoking up with Jesus. He said, you will find rest. You will find rest with your soul. And for my yoke is easy and my burden is like, so when I'm all wore out and weary and whatever, it hits me. Wait a minute. I haven't been yoking up with Jesus. I haven't been spending enough time with Jesus. That's why I'm worn out. That's why I'm stressed out. You got to yoke up with Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Anybody want to carry a light burden every now and then? Anybody want to carry a light burden? Just yoke up with Jesus. Maybe you're getting discouraged. Maybe you're getting discouraged. Sometimes in this Christian walk, we get a little discouraged. Well, this book, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hang on in there. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, child of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God said, hang on in there. Keep on working for the Lord. Keep on striving with the Lord. Hang on in there. He said, your labor, my labor in the Lord is not in vain. That ought to encourage somebody hard. Your labor is not in vain. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, this book, the Bible, this book, it's no ordinary book. It's no ordinary book. The Word of God. The story was told, as I'm almost through, the story was told, this Frenchman by the name of Voltaire. Any of y'all hear Voltaire? And so he had made the very arrogant statement that, hey, this book, the Bible, this was back in the 1700s, I believe it was, this book, this Bible, it won't last. It's not going to be around too long. That's what Voltaire said, this Frenchman. Well, the story goes that Voltaire actually died. Eventually, all of us are going to die one day. And he lived in France. And so the story goes that the French Bible Society bought his estate, bought his house where Voltaire used to live, bought his house. And guess what? Supposedly for about the next 100 years or so, guess what happened in the house that Voltaire used to live in? But by the next 100 years or so, Bibles were being printed in his house. The man who said that the Bible wouldn't last, the Bible has outlived him. There's an old saying that the Bible outlives all its pallbearers. The Word of God is here, saints. This book is no ordinary book. Maybe, here's a couple more verses just for encouragement. Joshua 1:9, the Lord said, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you wake up in the morning and you say, man, this is a rough day. This is a tough day I got here. Got a lot of stuff I got to do. Pray to God. Go to his word. Go to a verse like this. God, you are with me. You told me not to be dismayed, for you are with me wherever I go. So as I go, I am on my workplace. If I go here, wherever I go, you are with me. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe you're struggling with the assurance of your salvation. This was mainly last week we talked about the helmet of salvation. But maybe you're struggling with that. Well, this book is no ordinary book. So this is what the Bible says about your salvation and my salvation. It says, for I am persuaded, or I am convinced, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my feelings might even say. I don't care what the devil say. If you're in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said it this way in John 10. He said, if you're in my hands, nobody can pluck you out. He said, oh, by the way, you're also in my Father's hands, so nobody can pluck you out. Oh, I thank God that this book is no ordinary, but we can receive the assurance of our salvation from this book. From this book. Psalms 34, I read it a little earlier this morning, a few verses. Let me read a few more for you as I'm almost through. Listen to this, the Word of God, this book, which is no ordinary book, the sword of the Spirit, our offensive weaponry. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The psalmist goes on and says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him, to the Lord, and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. Let me repeat that. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. It's good to know that the Lord hears our prayers. It's good to know that the Lord hears our cries. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This book is no ordinary book. It tells us that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see. Has anybody tasted the Lord? Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. This book is no ordinary book. It tells you if you're seeking the Lord, he said you won't lack any good thing. Then he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out. Are there any righteous folks in the house this morning? If you're in Christ, you are righteous. You've been declared right. If you're in the right, that wasn't a trick question. Any righteous people in the house this morning? The righteous cry out. Let me ask that one more time. Any righteous people in the house this morning? Am I in the right place? Am I in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions. I can't preach and tell you that nothing going to go wrong. I'm not going to tell you that lie. But many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. This book is no ordinary book. It offers encouragement for the soul. If you're sad, if you're down, it'll bring you back up. I mean, if you're too far up and too far high, it'll bring you down a little bit. It'll humble you a little bit. This book is no ordinary book. So this book is no ordinary book. This is the Word of God. It's no ordinary. It's God breathed. It's no ordinary book. Psalms 37 says, do not fret yourself against evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hey, I'm just preaching the Bible. I can't give you any better words than what I'm saying right now. I'm just preaching the Bible. And he will, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And then he says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. Won't he do it? He'll do it. He can do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Don't fret because of the wicked schemes that we see even in our world today. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Don't be tripping out. Don't be stressing out. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the earth. Beloved, child of God, he's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This Bible. When you're down, once again, it'll lift you up. If you're sad, it can give you some joy. This book, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, this book is no ordinary book. Matter of fact, it tells us the gospel story. This book tells us the gospel story. I can't think of, there's nothing any more important in the world than the gospel story, the good news, how God's only son provides eternal life, how Jesus Christ came and died, we first lived a perfect sin-free life, born of a virgin, lived a perfect sin-free life. We learn about that in this book. This is no ordinary book. How Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. While he was here on earth, he caused the lame to walk, gave sight to the blind. He unstopped deaf ears. He cast out demons. He even enabled people like Jairus' daughter and Lazarus to get up from the grave. This book tells us all these things. This book tells how Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's you and me. Those who were lost. This book tells us that. And then this book tells us about how on that Friday, they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. All kind of crooked type of trials they were given. But then that Friday, he went to Calvary's cross. This book tells us that he went to Calvary's cross. He went to the cross with you on his mind and me on his mind. And then he stretched out his arms on Calvary's cross and he died on Calvary's cross. This book tells us that he died on Calvary's cross. But even before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he even told one thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. This book tells us all of that. He died on Calvary's cross. Died until the sun refused to shine. Died until the earth did quake. Died until the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. This book tells us that. And then they laid him in a borrowed tomb. Laid him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to use it too long. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. This book tells us that. Then early that Sunday morning, this book tells us this. Early that Sunday morning, as a Baptist preacher of old would say, early that Sunday morning, this book tells us that early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. This book tells us that he got up with you on his mind and me on his mind. He got up, and when he got up, we got up. Salvation extended to you and me. This book tells us that. This book tells us that. And then he walked the earth 40 more days, then went on back up into heaven. And guess what? Then he sent the Holy Spirit. This book tells us that. And then he said something. He said, well, really, the angel said something. He said, why y'all seek Jesus looking up in the sky? This same Jesus. This book tells us that. This same Jesus. That he's coming back again one day. When he was here the first time, Pilate tried to judge him. But when he come back, Jesus is going to judge Pilate. He came back the first time as a suffering servant. But he's going to come back the next time as a royal king. This book tells us that. This book is no ordinary book. There's hope. There's peace. There's joy. There's a relationship with Jesus found in the pages of this book. In this book, which is no ordinary book. It's no ordinary book. Oh, you ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. But it's something about this book. This book tells us about Jesus Christ. This book points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is no ordinary book. It's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God that we are to use daily. Use it for salvation. Use it for deliverance. Use it for hope. Use it for joy. Use it for peace. Use it for comfort. Use it for correction and direction. Use it for wisdom. It's the word of God. It's no ordinary book. This book. Stand if you can stand. This is no ordinary book.